D. From your viewpoint you can see many things that are going to happen. You are so closely tied with the community for such a long time. I wonder if you can see what is going to happen to Qumran? K. Many shall be slain, and it shall be overrun by the Romans and ransacked. For its need is past. D. Do the Essens know this is coming? K. Yes, and it is their choice to stay. The secreting of knowledge was begun many generations ago. Much of the knowledge has gone into hiding. The knowledge that shall not fall into the hands of others, until it is time to be unearthed at a later date. Then it shall be uncovered when it is time for that knowledge. This happened when the scrolls were found in the many caves. Literally unearthed, as he said they would be. But what about the other important things that have not been found? The mysterious objects in the library, the model, the stargazers and the crystal? He said it was very possible that the model would be taken away and hidden, but he was not certain. I thought if anyone ever found it, they would not know the creation, catastrophe and the Kalu purpose of it anyway. It would only appear to be rods and bronze balls. It must have been a soul-searching decision to take the model apart, because they knew in so doing no one would know how to start it again. But it was probably better to hide it than to have it fall into the hands of the Romans. This was one of the things they had been sworn to protect since the Kalu gave it to them eons ago. All of these decisions must have been very difficult, for they knew they were coming to the end of an era. The closing of a door. The only solution they could think of was to hide the valuables in the hope that maybe somewhere, sometime, someone would find them and be able to understand what had been so precious to them. They must have known they were taking the chance that time, the elements and marauders would take their toll. When I asked about the crystal, Katie's body suddenly jerked uncontrollably. I did not understand this physical reaction, but he said, "It is gone. It has been moved. It is not in the area. It was placed on an athos of light." I did not think at the time to ask him what he meant by that, but now I wonder if it was possibly taken to another planet? I asked why the question had bothered him. He paused as though he was listening to someone. K. They say it is not time for that. D. Well, I would like to make a guess. Do you think the Watchers might come and help take some things away? K. It is possible. D. Yes. That would be one way these things would not be found again. If all these things are gone, people in the future will never know how advanced the community really was. K. They will be hence, at the time when the world is ready to hear it. D. After the destruction of Qumran, will any of these people be left? K. Yes. They will go elsewhere. Some will survive with knowledge. Others will survive with only memories, to be reawakened at the time of need. I wonder if he meant the kind of memories we were now awakening with our experiment? I changed my questioning to see if I could find out anything about the mysterious Kalu. K. They are those who you think of. They are from that you would Jesus and the Essence call in your time Atlantis. Part of this name difference is, when people speak of what is called Atlantis, they do not realize that instead of just being one, Thathir were many governments, many countries on that continent. The Kalu were not made up of all of the people. This was but part of that. D. Do you know what happened to them? K. There are still some alive on Earth. They are their guardians of some of the secrets that are being protected. They guard many things. Knowledge of them shall resurface. D. What happened to their country? K. Great destruction occurred because they did not follow the laws of nature. But those who are wise in the ways knew that it would come about, and sought to save knowledge so that the spark that was mankind would not be snuffed out. D. Was the catastrophe a natural phenomenon? K. It was a combination of nature crying out against what mankind had done to it. D. While he was alive, Sadi talked as though there was a great explosion. K. There was partly an explosion, that was some of it. They misuse the balance of nature. When you draw too much off of nature and do not replenish, you cause imbalance, therefore this is what occurred. Many were warned very early that this would happen and left the area. Some left on airships, some left by the seas in hopes that at least some of them would survive. D. Was a crystal involved in any way with the final destruction? Other writers have suggested this and I wanted to check it out. K, yes, one of them. There were several. Some of it is to do with overload, misuse, mischanneling of power. So much, it ultimately has to come back to where it began. For every action there is a reaction. This is what they did not take into consideration. D, Sudi told me there was a war and they used the airships. K, there was, this was part of the ending. But the war that he spoke of has not been. This was a shock we were not expecting. It made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. When I was transcribing the tape about the war, it made me uneasy. The world conditions that Sudi was describing were too similar to our own. It sounded so much like creation, catastrophe and the Kalu history repeating itself that it made me uncomfortable. This statement only reinforced that feeling. D. Why did Sudi think it had already happened? K. Confusion of information. D. He did say it comes down to them in bits and pieces. But he spoke of airships of old. K. There were airships of old, yes. But the war that he spoke of had not occurred. He was speaking on one hand of the warships of old, which did exist, and on the other hand of a prophecy that was made of one that would exist. This is what you have when you have pieces of information. Those who think they are in a place to be able to know and make judgment upon, they would fit them askew. They fit their ideas, and therefore they must be correct. D. I don't know if you are allowed to give us this information, but can you tell us when the war will occur? K. The war that he spoke of, the prophecy, what many do not understand is it does not have to occur. This is a prophecy, and prophecies can be changed. If enough entities put the right energy into it, that this does not have to happen. Nothing is set until it has occurred. D. He said the Watchers were some that might try to help. K. They are trying to help, but they cannot do their job of thousands of men with only a handful. It must come from the desire among the people to avert this catastrophe. They must be made aware of what could happen. They must know what would happen if a prophecy-kais were allowed to be fulfilled. If it is presented correctly, they will at least nurture the seeds. D. Why is it so difficult to get information from Sudi? If this is so important, he should cooperate more. K. Each entity has the personality at that time. Therefore the habits, what has been ingrained in each of them is the. If someone told you, as you are, to do something that was against everything that you had been taught, you could not do this. Therefore, do not ask it of him. Furiu would hurt Fu would take the feeling of trust and misuse it. Section 2 The Life of Jesus, Chapter 17 The prophecies. There were many ways this regression material could have been presented. The incidents in the life of Christ were actually dissoft-pursed throughout the entire 3 months that we worked on this. I could have left them in context and written the life of Sudi in chronological order. But I felt the story of Jesus would have been diluted, lost among the tremendous wealth of material. I feel the life of Christ is too important for that. I believe it should stand alone, so I decided to combine all of that material into one section. It could have been a book by itself, but then it would have lacked the basis I have tried to present. I wanted to show what life was like in that desolate community and let the reader come to know the personality and wisdom of one of the Essens. Thus, with the life of Jesus presented against this background, we can have a better idea of the environment in which he lived and studied, and to see some of the beliefs and knowledge he was exposed to during his most vulnerable years. Only in this way can the missing parts of his life take on new emphasis. Only then can he be seen in a new light and hopefully be understood as the great human being that he was. It has already been shown in the earlier chapters that some of the Christian beliefs and rituals have come directly from the Essens, notably the rite of baptism and the passing of the cup. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were translated, these two rituals were mentioned as being part of the Essenic daily life. Many writers have commented on this after studying the translations. The similarity between these facts and what Katie recalled surprised me and was something I would have never suspected. I was amazed again by the accuracy she had shown in the reliving of Sudi's life. In his book, Ginsberg says as the Essene advanced through the different stages of development within the community, he or she came to the highest level he could attain. At that point he became the temple of the Holy Spirit and could prophesy. Above all things Jesus and the essence the gift of prophecy was regarded as the highest fruit of wisdom and piety. Then he advanced again to that stage in which he was enabled to perform miraculous cures, and raise the dead. I think this passage leaves little doubt where Jesus learned these abilities. It sounds to me as if these studies would come under the teachings of the Master of Mysteries. Study, being taught foremost in the Torah, the law, had only minimal training in other fields. But Jesus had to learn everything from all of the different masters. The scrolls are still being studied today, but reports ceased immediately after the translations began. Why? What did they discover in the ancient writings that they did not want the world to know? Did they find the same things I have? Were they afraid the Christian world would be shocked by the findings that Christian-it was not created with the ministry of Jesus, but was born out of the teachings of these apparently self-denying men and women who devoted their lives to loving all mankind and preserving knowledge for future generations? I am not the first to bring forth this idea. I was surprised that many other writers have come to the same conclusion after examining the evidence. One of the first was Dean Prideau, who wrote the Old and New Testaments connected in the 1600s. He said that people in his day were inferring from the agreement between Christian religion and the documents of the Essens, that Christ and his followers were none other than a sect branched out from that of the Essens. In 1863, Grote wrote in his second edition of the third volume of his History of the Jews, that Jesus simply appropriated to himself the essential features of Essenism, and that primitive Christianity was nothing but an offshoot from Essenism. Again from Ginsberg's 1864 book I quote, "Those who style themselves the true evangelical Christians are very anxious to destroy every appearance of affinity between Essenism and Christianity, lest it should be said that the one gave rise to the other." This idea has been brought out more and more by the writers of the books on the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the connection is very evident and very real. One author stated that most of the theologians know this and only the layman is ignorant. In the December 1958 issue of National Geographic, there was an in-depth article about the discovery and translations of the Dead Sea Scrolls. I quote, "Certain striking parallels exist between the beliefs and practices of the Essenes and those of the early Christians, the prophecies. Scholars of all faiths recognize these parallels. They are facts. Still, everything that is known about this wonderful group has been obtained from the ancient writers and the excavations of Qumran. I hope that what I have found will open another door and allow a glimpse for the first time of their lifestyle and beliefs. A glimpse that is impossible to attain from the sifting and dating of remains and artifacts found in a silent ruin. I hope the scientists will use this book as a valuable tool to understand these mysterious people and Jesus' association with them. Maybe, at last, the whole story has been revealed and Jesus emerges even more wonderful and glorious than before. We can appreciate him as a living, breathing human being as seen through the eyes of one of his loving teachers." D, you said that you spend time with the defining of the prophecies. Can you explain what you mean? S. Throughout the Torah there are many prophecies given. More than half of them upon his birth. They say the Messiah is coming. For us, we must know the time, and show that we may know him. It is for us to keep this knowledge so that in future it may be shared with others who have gained understanding. We are studying how that dot. It is said that out of whose house that he shall come. He shall be of me house. He shall be of the house of David. And he shall be born in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. It is said that he shall be spurned by others because he comes from Nazareth. And nothing good comes out of Nazareth. D. Why? What is wrong with Nazareth? S. At one time it was fit for nothing but cutthroats and no accounts. And it is said that nothing good comes from there. D. Then why do you think he will come from there? S. Because their prophecies say. D. Do your prophecies say when this will happen? S. It is said that the time is soon. Very soon. D. Will he be born or will he just appear? S. He shall be born of woman. D. Is anything known about the parents? S. It is said that they will know her when they see her. D. What about the father? S. Only that he shall be of the tribe of David. D. Is there anything else you can share with us? Jesus and the Essenes. It is said that Elias Hall have to come before to pave the way. D. What do you mean? S. He shall be reborn. He is to pave the way. To let those know who are listening that the Messiah comes. D. Do you know who he will be reborn as? S. I do not know. D. What about the Messiah? Is he going to be the rebirth of someone else? S. He is Moses or Adam, it is the same. D. Can you tell me how long the Essene sect has been here? How long it has been formed? S. It is said that their first ones were not even Jews, but were known as the Menava. It was far in the past. They brought the knowledge of some of the prophecies and the symbol of the cross. D. Is that one of the symbols that the Essenes use? S. Yes. D. What type of cross is it? I've seen many kinds and they're all shaped differently. S. It has two short arms, a loop for a head and it goes down. D. Some of the crosses have all the arms the same length. S. This is not. It sounded rather like an ankh, the Egyptian symbol of life. D. What does it symbolically stand for? S. It is the symbol of salvation. D. Can you explain that? S. It is said that it shall be understood when the prophecies have been fulfilled. D. Salvation to me indicates saving from something. What or who is to be saved? S. It is somehow bound up with the fate of the Messiah. Oh, for this I am not sure. Chapter 18, The Star of Bethlehem. There has been much discussion and controversy about the Star of Bethlehem. Many think it never existed, that it was merely a myth or legend. Others think it may have been an extremely rare conjunction of stars or planets. A conjunction occurs when two or more planets happen to cross paths in the sky and appear from our vantage point on Earth to have merged into one great star. This has occurred many times throughout history, but rarely of the magnitude described in the Bible. According to Werner Geller in his book, The Bible as History, many experts place the occurrence in 7 BC, when a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter was observed in the constellation of Pisces. Chinese records also refer to a bright nova, a sudden burst of light from a distant exploding star that may take millions of years to reach us, being seen in 6 BC. There are also old records of bright comets appearing about this time in the Mediterranean area. Halley's Comet, for example, visited in 12 BC. Many explanations have been presented, even that the star was really an alien spaceship. It is a known fact that Jesus was not born in 1 AD at the beginning of our Christian calendar because of many inaccuracies in the early dating system. The only thing certain about this controversy is that no one is certain about what the Star of Bethlehem was or when it occurred. I was certainly not thinking about any of this, and it was the last thing I expected to come forth while working with Katie. This episode occurred during our first session when we had just encountered Sudi and I was trying to find out more about who he was. I feel extremely honored that we were allowed to participate in such a glorious event. I had merely asked him to move forward to an important day in his life. This is a routine command to keep the subject from bogging down in the boring mundane things that compose everyone's life. Moving them to an important day is a way of moving the story of their life forward. What is important to one person is not necessarily important to another, and this adds Jesus and the Essenes to the validity of the account. Thus, this was the last thing I expected when I asked him to move to a day that he considered important, counted him there, and asked him what he was doing. He said he was with his father and they were watching the stars. Not an unusual thing to be doing, but there was something different about her voice. A quiet excitement, a feeling of wonder and awe that alerted me to the fact that this was not a normal night. He took several deep breaths and said, "It is the beginning of everything. To be able to see this for myself. It is all that I could ask. To know that the prophecy is being fulfilled." Katie, as Sudi, clasped her hands together in front of her and her body seemed alive with excitement. Sudi continued, "It is the coming together of the fortnight. See chapter 3. Sudi's father had told him there would be a sign in the heavens when the Messiah was coming. It is said that from four corners that stars will rise together, and when that they meet, It will be the time of his birth. There were many of the Asans with Sudhi and they were watching from the waiting point of the hills, which was probably above Qumran. He could hardly contain his excitement, never in my wildest hopes. His voice contained so much it was almost a whisper. I asked him to describe what he was seeing. S, it is like the heavens themselves have opened up and all of the light is just shining down upon us. It is like the sun of day. It is so bright. They come together. They have not met so that it is larger than it will be. He formed a large ring with her thumbs and forefingers touching, to show how the stars appeared as they moved in to merge. It was clear that he was seeing something very unusual. His excitement was contagious and his voice gave me goosebumps. This was only one of many times I wished I could see what she was seeing, but we would have to settle for the second best of Sudhi's eyewitness description. It seemed there were four stars coming in together to one point. S, and it is said when that it becomes as one, in that moment he will take his first breath. D, do you know where he will be born? S, he is in Bethlehem. It is oft prophecies. The Star of Bethlehem 197 D, S, how are the other people with you reacting? They are all joyous. It is. Everyone is beside themselves. They are filled with joy and the energy that is coursing around us. It is as if the whole world holds its breath in expectation. His voice was vibrating with emotion. There was no doubt in my mind that he was witnessing something extremely out of the ordinary. D. What do you plan to do? Are you going to try to find the Messiah? I assumed anyone at the time who would have knowledge of what this strange astral phenomenon meant, would naturally want to go and see him. It would really be a breakthrough to get that story. I didn't know at the time that there would be plenty of time later to learn of the Messiah. S, we shall not. It shall be for them to come. D, do the prophecies say who will find him? S, it is said that he shall be found by others and then they shall leave. D, so you're not going to go to Bethlehem and see if you can find him? S, no, for there will be dark years which shall come soon. Then he shall come to us. We shall be prepared for him. D. This has been prophesied that he will come to your people? S. Yes, it is known. D. Will he learn from your people? S. Not so much that he will learn from us, as to be awakened to what is inside. D. And you have the ability to help awaken this? S. We can but try. This was the first indication that Sudhi might be able to give us first-hand knowledge about Jesus. I fully realized the importance of this and intended to follow it wherever it led. She was taking big, deep breaths as Sudhi watched the stars move closer together. Asked if he knew what time of the year it was. S, it is the beginning of the year. The new year has just passed. It is interesting to conjecture here that he may be referring to Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Shafa, as he called it, the beginning of Jesus and the Asans, the Jewish New Year, which now occurs in the fall. The experts say there were three conjunctions of Saturn and Jupiter during 7 BC, and taking many other variables into consideration, they think the star may have been the conjunction that occurred on October 3rd, which would have been shortly after the beginning of their new year. Of course, when I was asking these questions, I had no idea their year was any different from ours, and I asked if it was during the season we call spring. He answered, the season of growth is coming, yes. D. What year of Herod is this now? S. It is the 27th, I believe. I don't. He seemed to wish we would stop talking and go away and leave him alone. He was so involved with what he was watching that he seemed perturbed by my questions. He showed his impatience. You don't see it? It is so beautiful. There was so much emotion in those words. He seemed surprised that we couldn't see it also. D. Are you going to do anything in particular whenever the STRs all meet? S. We will watch. And give homage to him, for he is our king. This could have taken quite a while, for the stars were obviously slow moving, so I decided to speed things up by moving him ahead to when the stars had all come together, and then I asked him what he was doing. S. We give praise to Yahweh for his granting us that we be here. And we know that it is the great Yah, on affair we have lived in the time of fulfillment of all prophecies. We are letting him know that we are striving to do our best, to be prepared. For this is a great honor that is being bestowed upon us. And, though we know we are unworthy, we hope to rise to the honor." His hands were clasped, and the foregoing seemed like a prayer. I asked for another description of the stars now that they had all four come together. "S, there is a beam. It is like a tail. It comes down with all of the light. It is like a focus that drops straight from the star. And it is said that in this light shall he be born." Or was the word bore? There is the Star of Bethlehem, an interesting difference in definition here, and it opens up specular soft hyphenation. Study said they were within perhaps 50 miles from Bethlehem, so they could not see the exact spot where the beam of light touched the earth. D, is it brighter now that they are all together? S, it is like most of the light is being focused, in that it is no longer scattered about, but in a precise point. It is about the brightness of a very large full moon. I was preparing to ask him another question, when I noticed Katie's lips were moving quietly as though in prayer. I could almost see Suddy on his knees with his hands clasped toward the star and praying with an enormous heartfelt emotion. D, you can say it aloud. We would like to share this moment with you. S, no. Emphatically, would I tell my soul to others? I tell my soul to Yahweh. I was quiet for a few moments in reverence and allowed him to continue until it looked as if he had finished. I was not rushing him to go on to another scene. This must have been such a dramatic moment, I wanted to let him savor every drop of it. D, has Elias also come again? S, he has been born also. It was a few months before. His father is known to us, for he is of us. Thus this prophecy had also been fulfilled. There are many references in the New Testament to this prophecy that verify that the people of the time accepted the fact that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elias. When Jesus was speaking of John to the multitude, Matthew 11:10-14, "For this is he, of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come." When the angel was telling Zacharias that he was to have a son named John, we see in Luke 1:17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make Jesus and the essence ready a people prepared for the Lord." D, this must be a very exciting moment. I really thank you for sharing it with us. This is something that happens once in a lifetime. To see something as beautiful as this. S, it is more than a once in a lifetime, it is once in forever. D, that's true. And something we would never have been allowed to share if you hadn't talked to us about it. It was such a tremendous experience, I thought Katie would surely bring the remembrance back with her. When I brought her forward to the present time and awakened her, it was a bit sad that she had no memory of what Suddy had seen. I had been very tempted to suggest that she bring this memory forward. But we had decided in the beginning of our work together that it would be advisable to allow these experiences to stay in the past where they belonged. Can anyone imagine how confusing it would be in your normal waking life to carry around the conscious memories of so many different lives? I think it would be extremely difficult to get on with the business of everyday living. There had been times when Katie said she would later remember fleeting glimpses of scenes, but these would be similar to the fading fragments of dreams that we all experience upon awakening from a night's sleep. Chapter 19. The Magi and the Baby. We had gone forward in the life of Suddy and came to a time when he was visiting his cousins in Nazareth. He was sitting in the square watching the children play in the fountain. I wished to question him further about the phenomenon of the Star of Bethlehem in hopes of understanding it better. I also hoped to get more information about the birth of Jesus. D, before when I talked to you, you said you knew all the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and you were looking for him. Why is the Messiah so important? S, he is important because it is he who will bring light to the world. He will deliver and give hope to those who are without. He will show us and others how that we may gain our souls. D, then he will be a very special person. S, he is a very special person, though he is but a child. D, have you seen him? S, once, when his parents came to us, asking us to help. Fourth knew of Herod's plans and they had to leave. They sheltered with us for many days while things were gathered so that they might make their journey in safety.